You want to pause and I'll tell you the what happened at work yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, hold on another pause.
Welcome to Sisters Not Saints, the podcast where we offer real life advice from the sisters you've always wanted.
Featuring two real-life sisters, Kristen and Megan, and two real-life sisters-in-law, Hillary and Zoe.
Sisters, not saints. You might think they're saints, but they... Some of them are sisters, two of them have misters, but there's one thing that's for certain, it's their sisters, not saints.
I'm Hillary.
I'm Kristen.
I'm Megan.
I'm Zoe.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
All right, I have a confession of sorts.
Uh-oh.
Well, I just think I'll be heavily judged.
Oh, okay. We'd love to judge you.
I think I might go to the chiropractor.
I want to go too.
Really?
Yes, because I'm so against it that the only thing to do now is to try it.
I've been before. I hurt my back years ago and had to go for like 6 months all the time. Mm-hmm. And I hurt myself and I have scoliosis.
Okay.
And so my back gets very easily injured. And sometimes I sleep on it wrong and have really bad issues. And now my arm goes numb a lot of the day.
Yeah, that's so annoying.
My shoulder goes numb as soon as I get to work. My shoulders.
Yeah. Well, from like my left shoulder down to my fingers, like right now it's like numb. If I switched positions in a minute, then it won't be. But like when I'm working at my computer, yeah. It's numb the whole time. Like, and I just think I was like, maybe I should go to the chiropractor.
Yeah, you should.
Chiropractors scare me.
That's what I thought all of you would tell me not to go.
No, I'm kind of getting more and more convinced for this exact reason, because that's what I've been saying. My shoulders, and then it makes my like arm go numb. But everybody's like, you know, they don't have to do the scary parts of it. They can just go in and like push in that certain area, and it's not like a scary like jolting thing, and that can help just to push some nerves out of the way and back into place.
Or I went with my friend once, and it was scary to watch.
But everybody said, go, if you're going to that kind, that's not the right kind, go to someone who you say, I don't want any of that, and they'll just like...
Don't want any of what?
The scary pulling, grabbing, neck, you know, the neck
cracking.
Thing. Yeah, all that. If you don't want that, you can just have...
Then what else do they do?
You don't. It doesn't have to be your neck, though. They can just like push on things. They can use that like gun thing and where they... Have you seen that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've had everything done at the chiropractor, but every time I go, they did adjustments.
I would like to go with Zoe. I would like to see her first experience going to the chiropractor.
I'm willing to try.
Yes. Maybe
Even
what you
I
should
did
do
say, like 2 months ago, I will never go. It's
okay. I have an idea for you then. You should go to, I think it's called the Stretch Lab.
I keep getting ads
yes.
for that on Instagram.
I do too. And I think that would be like chiropractor light for you. Like, I think maybe it would work for you too, Hillary. They manually stretch you. But I don't think
that
they do any
nice.
Of the, yeah, it doesn't. I've watched the videos when it comes up in my little sponsored feed. Have y'all ever gotten those?
No, but I drove by a sign for it here in town, and I thought that would be a fun activity that we could do. But then I looked at the price and I was like, well,
I think they have like a free introductory thing. But basically you go in and they strap you to a table and manually stretch you. Like, you just lay there and they like stretch you.
I had a trainer.
I mean, it sounds not that far off from a chiropractor.
Yeah, I don't think that they're like
more stretching, less popping.
Yeah. So maybe it would be like a baby step for you to getting to a chiropractor.
Okay, but Zoe, you were saying 2 months ago you would never go to the chiropractor.
I literally said at work, I will never go to a chiropractor. That it doesn't, it's bullshit. It's not a real doctor. It's not doing anything to you. Never go.
But why do so many people fall for it?
That's the question.
And they say it works.
So somebody at work, her neck, she woke up with like a crick in her neck. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, okay, I'm just going to leave at lunch, pop into the chiropractor. They're going to, you know.
And she died.
She didn't come back to work.
She died? Did she
really
die? No,
she came back and she could move her neck.
Oh.
And before she left, she couldn't move her neck. So I'm like, okay.
And that was what convinced you?
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't read anything on the internet about it then.
Oh, don't. I already have. And I don't like when people take their babies.
No, that's really scary.
I think that is not a good idea.
I actually watched a video of that one.
I took my baby one time. Dash had really bad problems as a baby digestively, and we tried everything, and so many people said take him to the chiropractor. So finally we did, and they said, the chiropractor was like, yeah, I see babies all the time. She was like a pediatric chiropractor.
Yeah.
And she was said, oh, I see his issues all the time. I'm going to do this and this and this. He'll probably end up pooping all over the table because that's how quickly this works. He couldn't poop. Mm-hmm. And then she said, and he'll definitely poop tonight and in the morning. And he didn't poop for 10 more days.
10 more days?
He would go. Goodness. He would go 10 to 14 days without pooping.
Whoa.
I know. I'm telling you, he had really bad problems. That's why we took him to the chiropractor.
Yeah. I would have tried anything like too.
We were trying. We tried everything, but I was really annoyed because she was very confident. He's going to poop all over this table. I do this all the time.
Wow. And
I was
like, I mean, I feel like I could be talked into trying it, but I don't have a desire to go.
Okay. Well, I was looking up stuff because I really thought y'all would tell me not to see the chiropractor.
You're like, let me get my argument ready.
But yeah, but so there is not much research backing up a lot of evidence from chiropractors, and they're not doctors. However, they have done studies showing that spinal manipulation can modestly reduce a person's lower back pain, but their lower back pain especially is such a mystery. Like, they most often don't know why people have it or what's wrong or how spinal manipulation makes it better. So lower back pain in general, that's like the biggest reason people go to the chiropractor, but it's very hard to understand. And often people don't know why they have lower back pain. It's even hereditary and they don't know what's causing it. And so many people, so it's really hard to study, but it kind of goes hand in hand with chiropractorism.
Chiropractic care.
There we go.
Oh, there you go.
And so spinal manipulation can modestly reduce a person's lower back pain in like recent studies that they've done, but they don't know why. So it is like research is out there that it is helpful, but they're just not sure why.
I kind of think it's like a placebo thing. You know, I think if you buy into it and you think that it's working for you, then it could be placebo, but I mean, you can't really discount that.
I guess why I struggle with it is because, well, if the research is like, yeah, this works, but we don't know why. But also, I would want to know why my back hurts. I wouldn't want it
from
just
a doctor
be fixed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't want it, like, because I say my lower back hurts. I go onto Google and I'm like, lower back pain. And of course, it pops up. You have cancer and you're going to die. But it's like, I want to know why. I don't want it to just go away.
But whenever you go to the doctor with low back pain, they just say, do ice, do hot,
yeah,
stretch.
That's why I got
that's
to
all they tell
that's
you
why
to
I
do.
Go to Dr. Google. I don't go when your back hurts, you don't go to the doctor.
Well, and the back
you wanted an answer and the doctors don't give you an answer.
And it can be anything.
Right. They tell you, oh, you probably pulled a muscle, just take it easy.
You
stretch.
Sat too long.
It
you
could be
wrong.
Like endometriosis, it could be PCOS, like random things that are just really hard to test for.
Right.
So you just may not get an answer. But you know what I read about back surgery? Like, I would try chiropractic over back surgery because I just read that over 50% of back surgeries fail.
Yeah.
And that's so scary. And I had a boss that had back surgery once and he woke up on the table and he was paralyzed from the waist down. They told him he would never walk again, but he did all this physical therapy and he was able to regain all of his walking. He was a cyclist. He rode his motorcycle. I met him after the surgery, obviously, and I never would have known or thought that could be the case about him.
That is scary.
So scary. So he always made me so scared of back stuff and like back surgeries in particular. So I would definitely try this over like that being my next option. I think that's a safer bet is to start with chiropractic and then go.
Well, yeah, I think there's a
like
big
delay.
Jump. I think
know,
there's a big
just
jump from going to the chiropractor and getting back surgery.
Yeah, I would exhaust all my options before, you know, if I had back pain, I guess is what my point is.
But similarly, a lot of people are scared of the chiropractor because they hear stories about like someone went to the chiropractor and they had permanent damage or they caused them to have a stroke. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things out there about that. But even to those rumors, like the percentages of that happening is super, super small. And they say often people go to the chiropractor, or even the doctor for things like symptoms because they're about to have a stroke. And so they have a stroke after, but they were going through anyways.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't
it's like the same thing with vaccines. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just coincidental a lot of times. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like a lot of that's really hard to track and to know like what was caused because of the chiropractor.
Right.
Or
what came first, the chicken
underlying conditions.
Yeah. I always throw chiropractic care in with like essential oils and because the science is iffy on both. I mean, you can find studies that show that it does something, but there's studies that show it does nothing. But if it makes you feel better, I'm for it.
As long as you don't break your neck?
A woman I work with wears a patch full of herbs on her stomach.
Oh, like a satchel or like
it's like a you sticky know, like patch. A sticky patch.
Okay, it's not like a little
full
pouch
of like traditional Chinese medicine herbs and things, and you stick it on there. And
is it for her stomach or for other parts of her body?
Kind of everything.
Just one patch.
What is it? What is it supposed to do?
Like a one patch cure all? Because can we get some of these?
We should try it.
I tried a vitamin patch once. Did not like it.
I don't even know. I guess it just like is absorbed through your skin.
Yeah. And first of all, it hurt and it left a stain on my body for like a week.
I would imagine an herbal patch would leave a stain too.
Yeah. And or a smell for yeah. sure.
Smell.
So it's supposed to relieve pain and inflammation.
And does she feel
some less? Some people use it like for their period or cramps. And I think she just used it kind of for all over, like just all, it just would help digest. It would just help everything having this patch on her.
And does it, she thinks it helps?
Yeah. Oh yeah. She does all TCM. Okay. This Chinese medicine.
Wow. I'm laughing because Megan, do you remember when mom went through this phase where she insisted that if she slept with a bar of soap under her feet, that it would help her restless leg syndrome at night?
That's actually a thing.
And
though.
It helped her.
Yeah, that's actually.
But it's again, is it placebo or yeah. does a bar of soap under your feet actually help that?
I don't know. It's the same thing, I think, like with a potato too. A potato. Like if you sleep with a potato, it does something.
It like absorbs your toxins. Like yeah. if you put it in your socks or yeah. something. When it's really yeah. just the potato browning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people do the bar of soap thing.
Yeah. Well, this kind of goes, I had seen recently on the internet a lot of common misconceptions that we believe that aren't true.
About chiropractors?
About everything.
Oh, okay.
So I was going to tell you some of them.
Okay. All right.
We'll tell you if they think they're true.
Yeah. Okay. That alcohol warms you up.
Well, I want to say true because I feel like it does warm me up.
No.
But because I'm just getting more excited.
Making your blood vessels open. And so it's bringing all the heat to the surface of your skin.
But isn't that warming up?
No.
Why? If the blood in me is getting hotter, wouldn't I be warmer?
No.
Well, no. She's right. It dilates your blood vessels and uh-huh. causes your blood to be pumped closer to the skin. But that makes your core temperature drop.
Because you're not getting warmer. It's the blood vessels closer to the surface. That's not what heat is to you.
Yeah, it's not your internal temp.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. That you lose most of your body heat through your head.
Feet.
Wrong and wrong.
I would say head and feet. That when if I need to warm up,
I would think
put a beanie on and socks.
It's like 7-10% of your body heat is from either your head or your feet, your hands, anything like
your extremities.
Yeah. And they said just anything basically that's uncovered is where you are going to tend to lose more heat. But
I guess that's true.
Not true that you lose most through like your feet or your head.
Right. Because I guess if you were sitting here and you had socks on and a hat, but had a bikini top on, you would be like cold there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
That specific taste correspond to different parts of your tongue.
Oh, that's not true.
That's true.
Not true.
Really?
It's not true. We were all taught that in elementary school.
Yeah, there was like the tongue that? And there was like a visual and everything.
Yeah.
Like sour's here, sweet's here, salty's here.
It's not true. Oh, they're all mixed up all over your tongue.
Well, why are they teaching us this garbage?
Well, they probably aren't anymore. We just learned garbage growing up.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like they just made things up often when we were like in elementary school.
Well, it's just weird that they've continued to study this as scientists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, when I heard this, I was so annoyed because I remember in elementary school when you would learn about it, I remember tasting things and I remember thinking like, oh yeah, it's salty on that side.
Yeah.
I felt like I knew.
You take something sour and you put it on the salty side and you're like, yeah, it's definitely not a sour over there.
Yeah. We're just idiots.
That's weird. The 90s were wild.
Just yuppies. That cracking your knuckles leads to arthritis.
Yeah, I know that's false because I was a big knuckle cracker. So I had to prove to my mom that I could continue doing it. I had to do a lot of research on it when I was like 10 or 11. And finally, she was like, okay, whatever. Just crack your knuckles.
So it's false? I crack mine a lot, too. It's false, yeah.
I can't crack anything.
I mean, have a really bad habit of it. That's what a chiropractor does is cracking all of the stuff out of your I don't know.
I could probably do it now. I don't like cracking.
No, I don't like it either.
I don't. Do you crack anything?
No, nothing.
No, I don't even know how.
Me too. I don't like.
Like if I had like
if people do it.
It feels so good.
If someone was like crack your knuckles right now, I wouldn't even
try
know.
It. You're fresh. I bet it would be a great one.
No, I wouldn't even know like what you do.
Ew,
like that.
No, you just like
No, I don't know. I just do it like.
Oh, I got a good one just now.
It's so gross.
I love it. I could do it probably every 20 minutes.
The Earth orbits around the sun.
Oh, I just saw this.
And what'd you learn?
We've been taught all wrong.
What? What?
Wait, wait. What are we orbiting then?
The moon?
The sun.
Wait,
the sun just said is orbiting false. Us.
No.
What are we orbiting?
Everything in our universe is orbiting a mass. Let me see what it says again.
Yeah, I saw a video
of this. The center of mass of the solar system, which is very close to the sun.
Yeah. Well, okay, but why? Well, then we're lucky that that worked out that way, so we have all that sunlight.
Yeah.
But it feels like we're basically orbiting the sun. It's like a technicality.
But why don't they just teach us the real thing?
Well, they didn't know. As technology and science improves, you learn new things.
Okay, well, let me know when your kids get to where they're learning about that and see if they're still teaching that.
It'll be different in 20 years. We'll know so much more.
Well, they're going to learn about that before.
No, not yet. You know what I'm saying, though? Like when they have their own podcast and they're talking about what they learned.
Yeah.
It'll be totally different.
It's true.
We'll know about other galaxies and planets and people.
And we'll be the old people being like, that's not true.
Right.
The kids will learn this in
the
school.
The kids will be packing up and like, I'm going to Mars for the weekend. And we'll be like, you can't go to Mars.
Yeah. We still think Pluto's a planet, so.
I thought they.
Pluto is a planet.
I think it's back. I don't know.
I think they made it back a planet.
It's intermittently a planet.
Yeah.
Drinking coffee dehydrates you.
I know that's false because in pregnancy, they say it counts as a cup of like liquids.
It does not dehydrate you.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Why would it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like I would have said no to that.
Well, it is a slight diuretic. And that's why people thought it would dehydrate you.
Okay.
Penguins mate for life. If that's not true, there's no hope for anyone.
No, they mate until like their partner dies. Well, right?
That's life.
Yeah, I feel like that's life. That is life.
That's like till death do us part.
Yeah.
That's life.
That's one of their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like if the wife dies.
No, that counts. You can't continue on past.
Yeah, you can. Because you're saying then that the male penguin mates for life.
For life is till death do you part.
No. But not for penguins.
Why not for penguins?
Because they're not bound by that religious hoo-ha.
Well, yeah, but that's if you mate for life, like say Peter and I mate for life and then he dies.
Right.
She's free.
I could still be with somebody else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They don't mate for life.
Yeah, for the life of the relationship. Like
happening.
Like half
that
the
is life.
No,
half
like of the partnership is gone. Yeah,
right. So then Hillary is free to go out and find another penguin.
Right, but I mated with Peter for life. For his life.
Well, yeah, but not your life. Your life matters too.
But only because he died. If he didn't die, we'd mate for life.
I don't even, is this true or false?
It's false. They don't mate for life.
Wait, what?
Then what about cardinals? Do they?
I don't know, but they say penguins are monogamous, but they have multiple monogamous, they'll be with one penguin for a while, but then they break up and they're with another penguin. So they don't mate for life.
Have y'all heard about the gay penguins?
Yeah, of course.
Where did I hear about that?
It's been all over the news. There's children's books. We've seen them in New York.
The gay penguins?
Mm-hmm. That's where they were in Central Park Zoo. I think there's other ones now, but the one that like the children's book was written off of was based there.
Wait, no. Have y'all heard about what gay penguins do?
Adopt baby penguins?
No, they kidnap them.
No, I did not hear
that. You haven't heard about this? Whenever you were like, we've seen them in New York. I'm like, what? This is something they display in New York? No, gay penguins in the wild, they made up, I guess, for not life, but the season, and they'll go like knock out a penguin that has an egg and steal her egg so that they can have an egg.
Penguins are happy for them.
Yeah, penguins are so like shifty with like their little rocks that they carry around and the eggs. Like you gotta watch your round objects around them.
Yeah, but the gay penguins are kidnappers.
Wow.
Because that, you know, that's their whole thing is they have to protect an egg for the season.
Yeah. Good for them. I mean, that's pretty...
Well, bad for the mom.
No,
yeah,
mom
but she can have another one, and she's probably not emotionally invested.
What if that were you?
Okay.
What if someone took your baby?
Right.
You'll have another one next year. Don't worry.
Yeah. I mean, egg babies feel different than like real babies.
Well, that's their baby. Yeah,
I don't really know if they get it.
And they do get...
There's no surrogate penguins in the wild, so we gotta let the penguins.
I think there are. That's what the gay penguins were surrogates. They adopted a baby that the mother had died, didn't have parents.
Okay, well, beat up or the mother died. Either one.
Maybe they killed the mom.
Yeah, maybe they killed the mom and they just don't want to say.
Not in the children's book that I have. That is not what happened.
Well, you are gonna have to get the rated R version.
No, but there is in the Central Park Zoo. There were two male penguins that were partnered, and they really wanted a baby. They could, I guess maybe they were trying to take other babies.
Yeah,
that must have been, maybe they knew that. But then there was an orphaned baby that had just hatched and they brought in and they immediately adopted it and raised it together in the zoo.
Well, are they all three still together?
Probably not anymore. It was a long time ago. I was thinking about a bunch of different facts and how, like, we have all these misconceptions about things. Like, you know, even, like, being told when we grow up, you're not supposed to eat after you swim. It can make you be sick. Or
swim after you eat?
Is that...
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Eat after swim.
You said eat after you swim. Okay. And you're wait, did we learn wrong?
You're not supposed to swim until, like, an hour after eating because you'd get a stomach ache or a cramp, which isn't true.
You would die. You would get a cramp and drown.
Oh, yeah, because you would drown. That's right. Or did you hear, like, shaving would make your hair grow back twice as thick? Anyways, I was thinking about all these misconceptions that we have and keep and how often it's hard, even when someone presents you with a fact, to believe it. And there's like a whole study about this and that it is like scientifically hard for people to believe facts when they have like a preconceived notion about something. And so this quote made a lot of sense to me. It says, the most difficult subjects can be explained to the most slow-witted man if he has not formed any idea of them already. But the simplest thing cannot be made clear to the most intelligent man if he is firmly persuaded that he knows already, without a shadow of a doubt, what is laid before him.
Mm-hmm. It's like confirmation bias in psychology. Like, you'll look for the things that prove your theory.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, also, the like studies have shown like humans need a really like accurate view of the world just for survival. And if something is like questioning their worldview, like your brain will refuse to believe certain things just because like you need that to survive. It kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, like if it was the end of the world and how like so many people would be like, nah, they'll come up with a way to fix it. It's fine. I think we really would do that because we would have to not go crazy thinking the world's really going to end in 40 years. Like even with facts laid before us, we would just like refuse to believe it because it's too scary to believe.
Mm-hmm. What if they told you the world was going to end in 2 weeks? Could you still ignore it?
No, but two weeks is a good amount of time for you to focus on that and do what you want. But it's when it comes to like years where you're like, you have to just live a life however you want.
2 weeks. I'm going to have the best 2 weeks ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you could just blow everything and not think about consequences.
Who cares? Like, bye, Franklin. Yeah.
But I feel like the world would be going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, but it literally would be.
Yeah. Make the best of it.
True.
But also part of it about believing facts is that we are raised, or, you know, our ancestors were raised in a tribe mentality. And so if something is like questioning your tribe, the community that you're in, well, a long time ago, it was basically a death sentence. If you questioned it and you were cast out and you didn't have a tribe, like you weren't going to survive. But even now, like in smaller communities, if you go against what like your friends and family are saying, you're going to become an outcast. And so if you're in like a certain group, you're not going to change your beliefs because no one else is changing their beliefs in your group.
I do worry about that. And especially as far as politically divided the country is, because now it's everything. Like you won't go to certain businesses if they don't agree with you politically. And everyone's just kind of like grouped into the people who think the exact same way they do. Mm-hmm. And if someone thinks differently than you do, they're automatically wrong and you don't even give them a chance. And I do think that is going to hurt. Well, I mean, obviously it already has hurt our nation.
So they said this is like an approach to life that's called factually false, but socially accurate.
Yeah.
And we often select our friends and family over facts. And a good quote they said was, people are embraced or condemned according to their beliefs. So one function of the mind may be to hold beliefs that bring the belief holder the greatest number of allies rather than beliefs that are most likely to be true. Which does, I mean, you think a lot like about the political climate we're in and who you're with and what you're going to believe.
Right. It's like nobody would, like if I thought totally different than you guys on a majority of things, everyone would be like, oh, we're going to go do this, but
well, sometimes I like Megan because she might say something weird.
Yeah, right. Or like, so I think we probably do all have people in our life that we don't agree with in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
What do you think is the most like effective way to actually change someone's mind who has totally different beliefs than you?
I think that you just have to give up the idea of changing people's minds. Like, I think the world needs to get back to where some things we just keep private. You don't talk about politics. You don't talk about religion.
I think actually a good approach is thinking about giving someone the most generous interpretation. So I always think MGI, like what is the most generous interpretation of this person's behavior or actions or opinions? And it kind of like gives them the benefit of the doubt. So it's like, yeah, maybe they were short with me, but maybe they had a bad day. Maybe there's tons of stuff going on behind the scenes that I don't know about. So I'm just going to MGI this and let it go. And then the other thing that I try to do is there's not one truth. Everyone comes right to the table with their own traumas, their own personal triggers, their own family histories. Both like two things can be true. And I think if people could maybe think about those two concepts, that might help people. Like just because someone likes a politician I don't like doesn't mean they're a bad person. They can like that person and still be a good person. And both things can be true.
Right. And that's, I actually enjoy talking to people who think differently than I do, who have different opposing views than I do, because it is just interesting to hear how other people think. And also, if you're not exposing yourself to that, how do you know that what you're thinking is correct?
That's very true. But also, those are really great ways to get along with people who think differently from you. But I'm more asking, like, what is the most effective way to change someone's mind? Like, if you have something.
How are you going
to
change Peter's mind?
I don't
mind
think
on
you
something?
Can. Like, if you're really passionate about something, you want to make it different.
I don't think you can. And I don't think you should. Yeah. Well, I think people have to be led on their own, like, of their own accord.
No, okay. Someone in your family mm-hmm. had a very different opinion about something during COVID, and you needed to change his opinion.
But I could, but there was no way to do it.
But you did.
But we did, yeah. Oh, like vaccine related?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that was because it concerned the safety. Safety comes first for me. Okay. Safety of my kids.
But so like, what if your dad had an AR-15 that he kept out on his porch all the time?
Then I wouldn't go over there.
But you'd want to change his mind about it.
Recognize that I can't change someone's mind. I can only change my response to it. So if he had an AR-15, I would have the talk with him. If he didn't change it, my kids wouldn't go over there.
And that would be you trying to change his mind.
No, that would be me taking myself out of it.
Yeah, but he would be having a consequence. Like he wouldn't be able to see you or your kids.
That's his choice. I don't like to change people's opinions or like have those discussions or like convince people, you know?
So the best way to change someone's mind.
Oh, you've got the answer for us this whole time.
Is to become friends with them. You integrate people into your tribe. You give them people that they can lean on to support. It's actually very effective to have dinners with people. Just thinking about, and not even, I'm not talking about necessarily political beliefs, but that it all, any kind of belief that is different relates, religious, political, anything. If you are having like dinners with people of all different backgrounds and you're talking and you're becoming friends, it's really hard to pass the salt to someone who you think you hate and looks differently from you and not think of them as a human. And then to have conversations, it's kind of like you're all eating at the same table. You're all sharing the same food. You're all having conversations. You're learning about each other. And the more you learn about someone and become friends with someone, the more your mind changes. And I'm sure we've all experienced that if you think about it in some sort. I know in my life.
Yeah, definitely.
I can think of so many things that I believed years ago that have changed because of people I've become friends with, because of places I've traveled to, because of the dinners I've had with people.
Exposure.
Yeah, it really, all those things do change someone's mind, obviously more than like arguing, which of course doesn't always work with people. And it's also really effective if, say, like you have two people where someone's a 10 on this issue and someone's a 1 on that issue. Like those two people are going to butt heads no matter what.
Right.
And never change someone's mind. But if like you're a 7 and they're a 6, then like it's one of you can kind of sway each other. So if you're like, it's kind of like where you are on the scale, but it is possible through like studies they've shown and that's like the most effective way is to giving people like a chance to get to know other people outside of their circle and know that like they could be friends with other people as well.
It's just so hard to invite people into your circle who you know you just don't like.
But it's good. And it's good for everybody, you know, like even for you, because it does like make you like someone who you think like, oh, I really can't stand that person. But then you're sitting there and having lunch with them and seeing them as a human. Mm-hmm. You can't help but see people as a human. Yeah. And then it makes you like understand them more and see their background and you know.
Yeah, that's why I think our culture has just become so. If this person doesn't agree with me on one thing, they're a terrible person because what I believe is right.
Yeah,
and is the best.
And like you know, we all get in our little echo chambers mm-hmm. and
yeah.
forget to branch out.
Yeah. But I think others. Like at the end of the day, everybody is a human and everyone is, I mean, hopefully doing their best and doing what they think is correct. And you're just not going to agree with everybody.
Yeah. And you don't have to.
Yeah.
There's room for everyone's opinion.
Yeah. And you shouldn't. You don't want to agree with everybody on everything.
Yeah. Yeah. The world would just be full of potato people then.
Milk toast.
Milk toast. Exactly. Oh, wow. Yeah, that is interesting. I just can't. It just seems hard to do.
I'll invite you to an awkward dinner.
Honestly, most people have more in common than they do.
Well, that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting too. I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right, when are we going to have a really invite all the people we don't like to have dinner?
Yeah, we should each invite someone.
One person that.
Yeah, one person that has totally opposite views.
I have someone in mind.
Different
that would be.
Well, and this is why, like, in political realms, it is really important when our president goes and has dinner and meets with other world leaders, because if they all sit together and eat and have dinner, it is actually really good for them to do that and, like, find middle grounds and work out situations.
Plan a dinner for Biden and the world leaders.
Here.
All right, Biden.
We'll host.
Come to Zoe's house.
We'll get some Costco platters.
We've got some chips and salsa.
All right, who's ready for some advice? I know this is a sensitive ask, but have any of you ever dealt with infidelity and stayed? My husband has come such a long way and we have truly restored our marriage, but my issue is that I still obsess over the other women. Some days I find myself going down a rabbit hole looking at the women he entertained. I know it's unhealthy and we've talked for hours and hours about these things, but it's been hard to not compare, check up on their pages. What is wrong with me? Can I overcome this?
Nothing's wrong with you. You were just traumatized.
Your husband sucks.
I think it is possible. I know people who've stayed together through infidelity, but I mean, not everybody. I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it either.
But if you can't, I don't know how long it's been. If it's been a long time and you can't stop obsessing over those women, like you might, maybe you can't move past it.
But I would also say, if you say that you've worked on your marriage, that you have restored your marriage and you guys are in a better place now and your husband has come a long way, and now the only thing that is holding you back is that you can't stop looking at the Facebook pages of these women, then maybe you need to be in therapy.
I would block the women's pages and I would try to stop thinking about it. And every time you do look at one of, or get the urge to look at one of those pages, do something productive with that time instead. Like try to make it intentional.
That's like a sign of something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because she was just traumatized and she just feels like
PTSD.
Scared.
And
feels, which is probably normal.
And it feels good to like scratch the itch. It's like going and checking the page and like, okay, you see that this woman's happy in a relationship. So she's probably not chasing after your husband.
Yeah. Because you're on high alert. So you're trying to like satiate that.
So if probably similar to like when you're tracking or stalking your ex online. And you just keep going back and looking at things that you shouldn't be. You should move on.
But if you truly trust your husband now and don't think that this is going to be an issue again, then you have to stop looking at the pages and you have to move on. Because you're asking him to move on, but you haven't.
Yeah, you're either in it and you're like, okay, I trust you and I'm committing to this and I'm going to do all the things. Or if you can't get past it, then that's, I think your body and mind might be telling you that.
Which is okay.
Yeah, I think it's okay too.
I mean, especially women.
Don't make yourself crazy over a relationship. You know, don't lose your sanity. It's not worth that.
Although, man, if they had kids, like...
Yeah, it'd be hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
I definitely see why you'd fight to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But not at the risk of losing your... If you're like... I don't know how often you're looking at their pages, but if you're looking every day and you're like, what is she doing today? Where are they? Who is like... And comparing yourself, like, oh, I think she's so much better than me. Look at what she's doing. That would make you insane. Like, you could not do that.
That's what it sounds like the issue is because she says she's comparing herself to these women.
Yes. So. And she's thinking that like they had something she didn't, which isn't true. That's not why people cheat. People don't cheat because like someone is more attractive.
Right.
That's not the thing. It's not you. You're not broken.
It's him.
Yeah. He's messed broken. Up. And it's not because she had anything you didn't. You know, in his mind, he may be telling himself that and he may be telling you that, but that's not why people cheat.
Right. It's his own issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let them go.
Yeah. But if you trust him, you have to move on.
Yep.
And you feel like your marriage is restored, then you've got to do your part.
Yeah. I think, like Kristen said, blocking them is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Second question. My teen is drawing pictures that I find really creepy. Please note, I'm also the type of person who can't watch a trailer to a horror movie and still always look behind the shower curtain when I use the bathroom. Every time he shows me, I tell him it looks really cool, as I don't want to discourage his creativity. But at the same time, I don't want to overlook something that could be serious. The pictures would usually be a dark-looking creature, sometimes with a knife. Is that normal behavior for a teen boy?
Oh, teen. Okay, I was going to ask the age.
Yes.
Yeah, I would think yes.
Think normal?
I think normal.
Yeah. I think normal. I mean, everybody has... I was about to say, if they're artistic and you have your own specific thing that you're into, you know, it's maybe like if you're really into music and they're listening to something you consider not wholesome music, like some sort of grunge, I don't know.
Rap?
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, Eminem was bad to parents. Like, everything.
Marilyn Manson.
70s,
yeah.
Rock and roll was bad to parents. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably... Your teen is angsty and an artist. Just let him draw what he wants.
Yeah. Unless there's other troubling behaviors with it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is like...
Depends on... Like,
is he also depressed? Is he also talking about suicide a lot? Is he, you know...
Are they isolated? Do they have friends? Are they making good grades? Mm-hmm. Are they being kind to people? Are they, you know, taking care of themselves? Like, hygiene good? All those things. If all those things are fine, then yeah, it's just...
Right. And you also may be scared because you're scared of horror films and...
And they may not be.
And sometimes they develop in opposition to you. So like to differentiate themselves from their family unit, they'll become what you're not. So maybe he knows you're scared of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he's like
trying to shock you.
This is my path. Yeah.
Yeah. And also being a creature with a knife. I mean, that could be comic book related, video game related. It's not.
I mean, honestly, even my 5-year-old draws like people with weapons and things and makes little Legos that have weapons and. I don't know. For some kids, that's just where they go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think unless there's other concerning...
Yeah, just keep an eye on it. But if everything else is fine, you think you're fine.
Or if they're drawing like someone they know that they're stabbing in their pictures or something.
Or you see like a hit list or something, you know.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah, you know when it gets weird.
Yeah. Step in.
I mean, I would hope, but...
Okay. My boyfriend has been lying to me about his finances and I don't know what to do. He's been saying he makes a lot of money. He said at one time he made $300K a year and now is making $150K. But I was on his phone and saw a text with his mom about taxes and it said he made $80K last year. I've noticed comments his mom says, like, he needs to save more and stop spending money. We recently went on a vacation and he kept mentioning that the room was $800, but when I looked online, it was $250. I don't know how to approach this because I find out by seeing his phone or overhearing comments from his mom. He also told me he has no debt, but apparently he has a lot. I don't know the extent of it. I want to have an open conversation since we're planning to move in. I've tried to start the conversation, but he sticks to the story. What should I do? How can I approach this?
Run.
Yeah. Good.
Red flag. Scary. Red flag. I know a couple people like this and they are liars.
Yeah,
they're just liars and they're gonna waste all their money. You're gonna end up owing money as well. They're gonna run their lives into the ground and they're trying to live outside of their means. He's got a lot of growing up to do. And
I know someone who faked a whole career and job.
Whole career, like, wow. We're gonna have to dig into that more.
What career?
Off podcast. Okay.
Do you think there's any chance that he just is trying to impress this girl?
Oh, yeah, I think that's
probably how it started.
Yes, but I think there are people who are just trying to impress everybody around them and living their life way outside of their means and lying about what they have. And
but do you think there's any hope if she does talk to him and says like, hey, I've...
No, this person has seen these things.
I mean, I think she could try to talk to him about it, but I don't think.
And
I
it's
mean,
probably maybe, spiraled so far. Yeah. He's probably so in debt at this point.
Like, well, and also I think the biggest red flag for me is how involved his mom still seems to be in his finances, because I don't, and this says a lot because I actually work for my dad, so he is involved in my finances, but I don't talk to my dad about like my taxes or what I'm spending my money on or if I need to be saving more.
I disagree. You have all of those conversations with your dad.
Not really.
Yes, you do.
Really? You think so?
It's not in the way you think, but of course you're like, oh, I'm doing my taxes, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, but
he probably doesn't know. Well, maybe because he works.
He
knows, but that's
different. But it's not like he's not involved. Like if I said,
You would call him everything. And say, I'm going to, do this for this amount of money? And he would say, well, that's too much. So you have all these conversations. It might be a little bit healthier of boundaries. Than
right.
This. And maybe these people are young. It sounds like yeah. it. So, yeah. But no, you have those conversations.
Well, so do you. Okay, so maybe I'm not the best example, but.
I'm just saying it's okay to an extent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay to,
that's
to
not the worst
get your parents'
here.
Advice, but right. for his mom to be...
Like, you need to start saving and stop spending your money and...
Right. I don't know.
Just that seems weird to me.
Well, the mom probably sees the red flags and is mentioning it to the girlfriend, yeah. hoping that the girlfriend will set him straight. Well, but that's not the girlfriend's job.
She's probably had to pay for things that he yeah. couldn't... Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, she's. I'm right. sure she's had to bail him out. So she's like, my stuff's on the line now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess my advice would be have a conversation. I mean, how much do you love this guy? Are you willing to be in this situation knowing that he's a liar and will always be a liar?
Could she talk to the mom?
No,
because that's weird.
She can talk to the guy. And if he is not honest up front, 100%, then just get out.
And just says like, yeah, I've got.
And it may actually take a couple convos for him to fully be able to say everything to you.
Yeah.
He's not going to come out with it all at once, but like.
Yeah, I just don't think he's a total lost cause. I think maybe she could hope
for him. I just think it's going to take a long enough time that she needs to move on to somebody else.
It's just too.
I wouldn't combine finances. I wouldn't move in with him and share expenses. No.
Well, no, don't come. If you do decide to move forward and you trust him, don't combine finances. Don't. If y'all ever do get married and do combine finances, you should probably be in charge of the
right. Well, also, it should be years down the road when he proves that he is honest trustworthy and knows how to handle his money.
And I'd be like, let me see your pay stub. Let me see exactly how much you're making before I get involved with you.
But also, then she has to decide, does she want to be in the kind of relationship where she has to go and like check his
parent him, basically.
Yeah, check his accounts.
Yeah.
She'd have to be willing to do that.
Yeah.
He probably wants someone to play that role if that's how his mom is involved in his life. He's wanting like a mom.
Yeah, but I mean, aren't all men just looking for their mother?
I don't think so. No.
No.
They don't want just someone to cook and clean for them. And
no.
Some are, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the majority are.
I don't think the majority.
Yeah, I think the majority are looking for a caregiver.
No, I don't think so.
Yes. I mean,
just because y'all lucked out.
I would agree the majority.
No, their husbands. They do that for their husbands.
I don't do that for James.
I'm about to say James is more, I think, of a caregiver.
And we're more like meeting of the minds companions, like if that makes sense. Like, I don't know. We don't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's more like.
Yeah, no, he doesn't view it as like a woman's job or my job to take care of him.
No, I don't think Peter does either, but.
But like when it boils down to it biologically.
But he'd be happy if I just said, don't you clean a thing.
Yeah.
You do all that.
No, he does a lot more now that I'm working.
I know, now that you're working. I'm just saying like.
But also wouldn't he be so happy? And James too. If like every single day there was just dinner ready and laundry was done and the house was clean.
I would be thrilled too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Everybody just wants someone to do the jobs they don't want to do, basically. Yeah.
I'd like a housewife as well. As always, thanks for taking our advice. Keep sending in your anonymous questions at sistersnotsaints.com and follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters Not Saints Podcast. We'd love hearing from you, so be sure to follow, rate, and review us wherever you're listening to this episode. It really helps us out. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.